hombre extraordinario.
Me impresiona mucho.
Pues, ¿sabes qué? Yo creo que no es tanto el físico, es más bien la personalidad que tiene y todo lo que proyecta.
Ya me lo imagino con su smoking blanco, un martini en una mano y un costoso habano en la otra.
Provocativo. Atractivo.
A new stereophonic sound spectacular.
Hello there, and welcome to the exciting world of HIP. This is a new departure in language instruction for English-speaking people who want to talk to and be understood by jazz musicians, hipsters, beatniks, juvenile delinquents, and the criminal fringe.
Bonjour madame, bonjour monsieur. Nous allons, grâce à ce disque créé spécialement pour vous, essayer de tirer ensemble le maximum de qualité sonore de votre chaîne Haute Fidélité.
Sit back, relax, and close your eyes.
Good morning, amazing and beautiful people. I'm glad that you joined me this Friday, January the 12th, already. The first new moon and the first 2 weeks of this 2024, I predict you, that's going to be a kick-ass year. As you could see, I end 2023 with my onward 2024 on retrospective anti-new year. And in French, I was like a kick-ass, rock star kick. And the same last week, podcast received a lot of love and hate. Yes, love and hate. And we already have some chat, except this is the bow tie. Okay, so yes, welcome. Thank you very much. And happy again, Gregorian New Year. Yes, it's the Gregorian New Year. It's not the real New Year. It's the whatever you believe in. It's up to you. So for those who don't know me, who are not necessarily a subscriber of any platform here, I'm Alexandre-Frédéric Joly. Today, more Alexandre-Frédéric Joly than Coach AF, but I'm also your Coach AF. We're going to talk about a Black Swan event that will arrive. And again, a lot of people have a negative angle of a black swan. A black swan could be also something constructive, positive. And anyway, for me, if you don't know electricity yet, electricity, it's always those two parts, AC, DC, and positive and electric, and negative and electric that make the current and this energy happen. So sometimes we have to be perceived as negative towards bringing a positive outcome. Yes, because that's the thing. So sometimes when you wake up in the morning, you will prefer to maybe stay asleep, which is not good. You have to keep moving. So cheers to you guys. And today, you could see the title, Black Swan Agile Civil Wars. Or, so you see the negative and then the positive for the great electricity. Value-based corporations delivering better experience. So I'll see about 10 people who's watching this live. And this also is going to be another special edition for the Dare Real Agile podcast throughout Spotify, Apple Podcasts, iHeartRadio, and so many others. And today we're going to name some company, not necessarily clients of mine. Some I work with, some I didn't. Some I will wish to have worked with them. But I will show you that when you have corporation, when you have a businesses, and organization that have core value, very deep core value, and they make it happen. And they just not talked about it to hire the best brain, but they actually make their value and principle alive in their day-to-day operation, doings and everything. So, and I had the honor and the chance to work for some of them, and also to even counsel from a distance some of them. And so these guys, they don't need to have a lean system or lean design thinking. They don't have to have any Kaizen type of event to improve and everything. They might do things like this, but they always do things based on their core value because they really believe in their mission statement, their vision statement. So we're going to do two examples today, but I'm going to talk about a lot of other enterprise or even part of big enterprise who had adopt a strong mission vision statement. So why? And they do some kind of naturally OKRs within a lean system of reducing the cost and make it more like feasible and happy. So here's the thing, guys. So you could also always, if you liked what I do when I'm not the coach AF, like ranting about everything, because that's part of one part of the emotion negative input positive outcome. But truly, I'm also very highly professional and skilled of over 20 years using Scrum, Enterprise Scrum, and mostly business agility. So if you'd like to have a free discovery session up to half an hour, let's walk the talk together. So you have the link in the description, especially on Rumble and YouTube. And that's it. That's it. Share this video if you'd like to spark someone into the fact that we should be all very awake, ready to propose and produce values and agilize everything, as Mike Beadle used to say. And help me, if you don't want to send me any Satoshi Bitcoins or a coffee, at least smash the like or even the unlike button to help me be shown more if you agree on these ideas that we spread. This is the way that we go against the algorithm empire of discontinuity. All right, so, and today I'm going to make it fast because I'm kind of tired, authentically, I'm telling you. Huge week of a lot of things, things are going on, and a lot of new prospection, new client, new stuff, planning, traveling for business, everything. So I'm kind of tired. It's really beautiful in Montreal. We have the sun. We didn't have suns in 2 weeks, so I'm going to go walk around and take that vitamin D, you know. It's really important to do so. So basically, the topic, it's pretty simple today. I don't want to go back to Shaleb when he explained the Black Swan event and stuff like this. I think for those who follow me, it's the 136th episode of the Friday Live Agile today, Friday the 12th of January 2024. And it's a special edition of the Dare Audio, the Dare Real Agile audio podcast. And so I won't go into the deepness of the Black Swan definition. I'll probably link it on the Pine Common of YouTube and Rumble for you to go and appreciate it. This Agile Civil Wars that had started, yes, it is, because what Agile Alliance and Jimmy Smith and John Kern, they want to propose for an Indian time. I'm out of it. I don't care about this. The split happened last year. Now, this year, I want to move on and I want to help clients like those I'm going to describe what they do, because they are value-based corporation who deliver better experience. Oh, I made some typo in the description, but this is it. So I really want to share that more than talking about the Black Swan and Agile Civil War. That was like probably a trick, a test to see how the algorithm or the people on Rumble on YouTube will react to a title like this, especially when, and the what we could call the podcast of conservative politics, they talked about this Black Swan event that they try, it's like they pray that it will happen to make another false flag, as they call it. But for me, Black Swan Agile Civil Wars, without the baiting to attract you here, It's still something that I do believe in the Black Swan positive effect, where people of the Open Leadership Network, the Beta Codex organization network and everything, we will concentrate on bringing that Black Swan into a positive aspect of uncovering together, okay, these new way to move forward and onward, not reimagine, not go beyond, not modernize, not whatever reparation the Agile movement needs. It's a little bit too late. And let me make something very clear, considering the amount of emails I receive on both sides, video podcast and audio podcast. I won't necessarily, yes, agile, this agile Jill, like we say in French, huh? The coach agile, the coach of Jill, because of Jill, yeah, it's not, doesn't sound right in English, but in French we could make a joke about it. It's a surname in French, Jill, G-I-L-L-E-S, and it's pronounced Gilles in French. And so you could be the coach as Gilles. So it's only the coach of Gilles, that guy. So that guy, I'm going to let him down, because there's so many other people with other beautiful surname that need our attention, that need our help, our expertise in the world of work transformation and the digital transformation and business transformation. So we're going to concentrate on those company, those organization, those business owner who don't need a PMO, who don't need an agile community of practice, who don't need an agile transformation office, or either a scaling framework. They don't need an OCM, organization change management operators. They don't need the IE, and they don't need ESG. What they need, it's an open house, an open space of capable people facilitated by us, the real movement of innovation, to co-create and to create patterns of doing, of delivering the greatest experience to their customer and their employees. So this is a couple of an example and showing you from a third party website, not the website of those two companies. We're going to take two, IKEA and Apple, and we're going to talk about Yves Rocher France, Spotify, Tangerine Bank, which is the ING here in Canada, Salesforce, Loosecast Films, and Yelp, who are those type of very strong core value based corporation. They have so deep and they so believe in whether the founder did or the actual C-level suite. And most of them are private company that could help too, because you're less influence, you have less bias from your investor. So that also helps, because you have to understand that whether you want to propose lean or agile or any other kind of framework that goes with it, for software development or business agility, the thing is, because I'm doing business for 30 years, so I know the drill. Your investor, I'm not talking about the venture capitalists, because they care less, sometimes, depending on your agreement, of course. But I mean, but when you start having a company with shareholders, even private, they might ask you things. They said, like, yes, I put some money in it. They don't just expect the return on investment according to capital and dividend. They might also ask things. So, and if you go public, it's even worse, because now you have General Assembly, you have this and that, and then you have a board, and that board influence your executive board. It's created a lot of tension, a lot of this kind of thing. So that's why you have the uprising from the BlackRock Investment Fund Society with the ESG. ESG, again, stands for environmental, social, and governance application of those things. So when you have all of these kind of input into the managing or the leadership of your business, it's starting to be very heavy. And this is why I realized in the last 5 years, when especially the C-level and some kind of SVP, the senior vice president, when they sponsor a digital transformation or a business transformation, and then we came in like unconsciously with the imposition of this agile value-based system. And of course, some company who just hire consultant firms such as McKinsey or CGI to build them a value type of thing, because they don't necessarily have value, they don't have a real why of vision statement. So these are the fluffy company. They may be great at the product they do and everything, but they don't have a value system. So that's why they could be like a kind of a prey for the predator of these agile firms, with especially their office of agile transformation. And they go inside and they start bringing those for value for agile software development. They try to trick them. And then all of a sudden, there's an homogenization of not only the agile way, like if it's the way, instead of helping them uncovering way inspired by these value. So they kind of lost in translation. And this is why. And again, let's be very objective here today. Some people are very asshole. They do it consciously and they just do it for the money. So this is those that the last 2 weeks on my Onwards podcast, I did scream against. I was more like the Coach AF. But today I'm more like the real consultant, the real Alexandre Frédéric Joly, would like to just show you that in the world of business, for even like 2-3 decades, you have agile organization, you have lean organization, but they don't use those words. They don't brag about it. They don't brag about it because they are just who they are through the force of a great founder who was either charismatic, who have this kind of as seen as dysfunctional ideas, because if you look at Yves Rocher and friends and Ivan Kapran and Sweden, these guys were like, and whoa, they didn't complete their bachelor, Steve Jobs either. They don't have big diploma. So if you read from Kiyosaki, the book Poor Dad, Rich Dad, here you have it. So you could have the best PhD in astrophysics if you want, but you cannot necessarily understand the intricacy of a business making, of a satisfied customer, of how to make people happy, and all and everything and everything. So you could even have, like, let's say that one day Scrum or Agile will become a bachelor or a master from Harvard or MIT. Who cares? Like all of those certified people who were just maybe HR people before, or maybe a developer, and they improvise themselves a certified Scrum Master right now. Well, it does what it does, you know? It does like full F shit. I'm sorry to say the S word, but this is it. I mean, and unless that they really want to evolve in that role. It's like the project manager is the same thing, by the way, in the classical project development or the classical. They were kind of stuck into this, you have a loud mouth and you're really organized. And so let's put you in charge of this project. So the poor engineer, like what the hell? But he have a loud mouth. Doesn't mean that he have good communication skills. Doesn't mean that he's able to empower the stakeholders of that project. So that's why, like, we have to be honest. It's I really smash and bash Agile for the last 2 years because I'm disappointed. I have no more patience. And whenever I'm gathering with people, all of this newcomer, I will say like 10% are very legit, are very genuine and want to learn and want to make a difference. They want to understand the different type of architecture of governance. They want to help move forward with uncovering new way of thinking, helping innovator to have some kind of structure and their artistic kind of project. That's okay. But 90% of the rest of the crowd are just the inflation of certification, fakeness, make it for the money, don't care. They switch from whatever and they embark on this imposition of thing because this is the way they make money. And again, I'm not against making money. I love money too. It's part of this capitalist system, this materialistic realm that we are in. That's okay. But could we do it consciously? Could we do it also with a better understanding of the interrelation between us and really create value that it's more than earned value management in terms of money? Like such of those stakeholders that I know sometimes, if they question themselves, should we go public as a corporation? And they will think about it, because if they are, like we're going to see right now, those value-based corporation who deliver better and smarter experience, not only to their client, but to their employee as well, and to even stakeholders like suppliers, partner, everything. It's amazing because when they apply those values, when they walk the talk of what they believe in on top of the product they made or the solution they serve, I'm telling you, my friend, these companies are there forever. You know them. They're iconic. Everybody wants to work there and everything and everything. And they produce real value. So for me, I took some where I work in the last 30 years, or I was a distant consultant, as I said, or I will have loved to work with. And I think those are the 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6. Seven with IKEA. So this is Yves Rocher France, Apple Computer, Spotify, Tangerines Bank, which is the ING here in Canada, under the ownership of the Scotia Bank. By the way, Scotia Bank for a charter bank here in Canada, because we have charter bank. It's only six big bank in the Desjardins movement, which is a kind of a credit union for the American who's listening. They could have been into the list at some point, but it's too complicated. But Tangerine, truly, for me, and maybe ING and Europe, because they brag that they do the Spotify model. But that's the thing. Tangerine here, they don't brag about anything, but they have this ING model or this kind of agile lean model, and especially the customer experience model. So that's why I put them in the list, because they transpire this, whatever the agile people could have been in the last 20 years, they will have dreamed to have this outcome as a company, in a financial company. And Lucasfilms, because the story of George Lucas and the way he built this company, even I could have took Zootropa, but doesn't exist anymore, from Francis Ford Coppola, I think. But anyways, Lucasfilm, it's a place that I apply, and I apply especially when I was living in San Francisco, and I would have dreamed to work there. I'm not that much of a Star Wars geek, but I'm a geek of George Lucas. I love the innovation of George Lucas. I love his thinking, his forward thinking, his innovative thinking in terms of business, I say here, not just the creative aspect of the father of Star Wars and everything, but Lucasfilms, it's really a very amazing company. I know people who work there, and they are very happy. Their clients are very happy. They win. Oscar, Golden Globe, whatever. And again, Lucasfilm does not just produce the Star Wars thing. They do a lot of other thing. I think most of the movie of Steven Spielberg are by ILM and Lucasfilm. So, I mean, these guys are great, and I love to emulate what they do within my Scrum mandate as well. And of course, Yelp was, I was a Scrum Master in 2006 for Yelp. And I met Sam. Sam, if you listen somewhere, hi to you, my friend. It's incredible now. It's going to be almost like 20 years that we know each other and we work together. He was one of my best UX designer. Now he's helping me at Agile Lounge and IFG and all my company to create a very better interactive marketing and something beyond social media. So thank you, Sam. I was so glad that I met you at Yelp, and I'm going to talk a little bit about Yelp in terms of like Spotify, a Scrum-based company. And of course, two of my greatest clients in Austin, Texas now, were engineer at Yelp. And after Yelp project was done, they made up their own kind of API and application-based company based on a Scrum value, but they developed their own value. So this is Urban Acolyte, Giver, and William. I salute you, my friend. Really nice to work with you, not for you, since 2016, and having you see grow and becoming now even the target of Amazon, who would like to purchase your software for a better fulfillment things. But anyway, I will say that much. But this is the thing, guys. When you have a great product, when you have a great proposed solution to solve problem with great intention, and then you are a value-based corporation like those I list right now, I mean, this is just amazing what you could accomplish. Even the attrition of your employee is less. I'm telling you, these are proven fact, not only by statistics, but by a lot of things. So without further ado, let's go. I want to share, and for the audio listener, I'm sorry about it. You won't see it, but anyways, I know the audio listener, the way that you interact with me, you kind of don't mind sometimes because you just listen and you do your jogging and everything. So, but I like to kind of warn in my language because I know that I have more listener on the audio podcast than I got on Rumble and YouTube and especially on LinkedIn. So let's share my screen. And for those who are listening on Spotify, iHeart, and Apple, you always have the link to come in the Rumble and YouTube channel if you'd like to see the slides. But it's not really a slides now. I'm going to share. Oh, before going there, yes, I almost forget. We received good news this morning. Spoiler alert, sort of. You know, 2024, it's my year of renewal for Scrum Alliance. And as the Agile Civil Wars is on, I might leave and quit Scrum Alliance. But let's objectively share, I'm so happy for my friend and colleague, Suryu. She's been accepted. And now let me just adjust. She's been, her talk on subsention architecture is now accepted by Scrum Alliance for the Global Scrum Gathering of May 19, 22nd, from the 19th to the 22nd in New Orleans. I don't know if it's the city of New Orleans. Yes, of course. So it's going to be there. So I'm not necessarily now advertising the Scrum Gathering, but it might be my last ever Scrum Gathering before I leave the organization in August. And I will go there to support my Enterprise Scrum for Business Agility Tester, who will have it. So it's an invitation for all of you CSMs and CSPOs out there and Scrum Beer. We're going to talk about it at the next Scrum Beer on March 28th. Mark the date, March 28th, the next Scrum Beer at Le Ciboire here in Montreal, Quebec, Canada. And we're going to talk about it. So I'm so very happy that Sue, her talk on subsension architecture is there. And by the way, she's coming up for an A, ask me anything or ask her anything about Subsention, decentralized architecture, Enterprise Scrum and everything. So I'm going to give her the floor, an open mic where I'm just facilitating it. So prepare your question right now. It's going to be soon coming up, probably for the Dairy Agile episode 61 of late February. I don't remember which is the Friday, but somewhere around the 27th probably. So gather your question now and be prepared. And she's going to present it to us exclusively at the Dairy Agile podcast. And then 2 months after, we're going to go and meet her in New Orleans, Louisiana, for this, for me, the ultimate, in my case, the ultimate Scrum gathering for me, if I maintain my intention of reducing and concentrate my affiliation for the betterness of the real business agility, the real open business agility with the Open Leadership Network. All right, then. I did the plug for today, and let's spend some time. And I will explain then, because that's the funny thing. Like the two that I, from the list I list before, unless people jump in the chat in this live stream of the 12th of January, I want to interrupt myself, and I'm going to take the two. Apple and IKEA, because in both cases, I did mandate and mission there. And in both cases, I have the honor to appreciate that their mission statement, it's a living thing every day, every second. And they're really value driven. And nobody, even in IT, talked about all of those things. They might have in the background, and my intervention was about this, some sort of Scrum, some sort of Kaizen event and stuff, but it's never, they don't care, because they are so, their corporate identity, it's so strong. It's their value. It's not the four value of the Agile Manifesto. It's their, in case of IKEA, the eight value, in case of Apple, five values. And from those value, because when you're a value-based company, understand that value and principle kind of intricate, and everything you do, everything you want to propose, everything you want to create, and those kind of strong culture organizational mode, you have to think, is it in line with the vision statement of our company, of what we try to accomplish as holistically as possible, and to refine it. And so those values and principle help you make decision, prioritize, and everything. You understand? It's objective key result naturally. So that's why I say, like, when you have a company or maybe good engineer at something like BlackBerry, but they don't have a strong vision statement, they didn't create a strong culture, they don't have core value that help them make decisions. So the predator of McKinsey, a company, CGI, Tata Communication, all of those big firm, BCG in Boston, or whatever the consultant of the Agile industrial complex you are in, you're going to bring them the one size fits all, four values and 12 principles, because that's the definition from Mike Shred, Mike Beadle, and myself on agilelounge.com that you could appreciate, actually. This is exactly it. I mean, the real definition of what is Agile in our world of business agility, in our world of software development or product development, it's about it. So if you don't have a value base, like I'm going to describe to you today with two examples of IKEA and Apple, I mean, you don't have it. I mean, you cannot. It's only that. Your value and from the principle, and the principle and from the patterns of application. So that's the way it is. That's truly the way it works in nature and in culture. Because remember, Terence McKenna taught me, and I believe in that, that culture is the enemy of imagination, because imagination is a natural thing that happens. When you confront to something, you want to solve it. You want to make your life easy. You want to change your experience. If you don't like something, you change it or you leave, you know? So that's the thing. So let's go see how it is. What I mean by value-based corporation deliver better experience and why. And they adopt a true fundamental business agility. So I'm going to show you some insightful, actionable. And from the inside, because I was there, I'll be able to I won't go too far, but I'm going to give you maybe a tangible example of how do they apply it in real life, and they don't need anything else for that matter. So let's go without further ado with the first example with IKEA. And by the way, I didn't go to their corporate website. I took what some investor and venture capitalists will use to start building their portfolio of investment, which the name of the site is, let me switch right now it is. It's Business Strategy Hub. So you could go at bstrategyhub.com. And so you search a company and you have all of these things. So as you could see now, let me just make sure that I am on the right. Yeah, we are. Perfect. Maybe, is it better like this? Guys, tell me. Maybe it's better like this, right? All right, so when you think about IKEA, so the name of the brand and the company, it's IKEA. The actual CEO is Jesper Brodin. The founder was Igvan Kamprad, I have difficulty, was founded in 1943. Could you imagine that? Like, so more than 75 years. The actual headquarters is in Delft, Netherlands. And the number of employees worldwide, it's more than 200,000 people. It's a private-owned company, so it's not on the stock market. It's not even like shareholder public. And for the year of 2019, the annual revenue was about $48.7 billion. And the profit net income for the same year was $2.14 billion. Is it dollars? I'm assuming it's dollars because this is a US-based site. But if I made a mistake and it's in euros, but that's the thing. And apparently his competitors are Walmart, Amazon, Wayfair, Sears, that doesn't exist anymore, and Tesco. Well, yes and no. For Amazon, of course, Amazon is competitor of everyone now. But this is the thing. So the fun fact, they say the name IKEA is actually an acronym that stands for Igvar Kaprad, the founder, El Tarid, the little town or farm that he was born in, and the province of Agnarid. So that's why it's IKEA. So you see, they have a vision statement, and I took this website just to show you the objectivity, because again, this bstrategyhub.com is helping investor building their portfolio or having a better know-how of the company that they might make some business with or whatever. So the vision statement of IKEA, and let me tell you, even here in Montreal, it's on the wall, it's beautifully said, it's beautiful. So it's to create better everyday life for the many people, okay? So it's to create better every life for the many people. And let me tell you one thing, as a client of them for more than 20 years, and it's my second time working with them, I truly feel that this is what we do as a team, as an individual, when you work with them, even as a consultant, even as a supplier and everything. So it's the business idea and the business model of IKEA. They also, I don't know if they talked about it, but it's a well-designed product for home furnishing. And they had created the democratic design, truly. Because if they want to create a better life, affordable also, so they need to do this. So it's really a customer access to its product. And they create, like, nowadays, Amazon and Wayfair and any others, you have the flat, you know, the flat boxing and built it yourself at home. But they were the first to do it in the 1950s. Could you imagine that? And then, of course, the vision statement is always like a very key punch phrase who will state, what is your vision? So the vision of Igvar was to create better everyday life for the many people. And of course, you need a mission statement, because a mission will be something like, from that value vision statement, your why, now you're going to start into your how. So why, how, and what. Okay, so the how is the mission statement. So there is no specific mission statement at IKEA, because they already put a lot of energy and intention into their vision statement. However, the phrase that connects their vision to their business aspiration, which is the OKRs we're going to see later with their 8 values. So it's fair to assume this phrase as IKEA mission statement. Our business idea supports this vision by offering a wide range of well-designed, functional home furnishing products at prices so low that as many people as possible will be able to afford them. And this, Ingvar talked about it a lot, and the subsequent CEO as well. Okay? So it's a statement of an organization that is based and developed on the foundation of its vision and the core value that we're going to see right now, because I don't want to read you this. And all these links will be in the pinned comment of YouTube and Rumble after the live show. So the vision and mission at IKEA. So we saw it. The vision is truly to create better everyday life for the many people. This is the why. The why of IKEA. The how of IKEA. It's our business idea supports. Any business idea, any OKRs will support the vision by offering a wide range of well-designed, functional home furnishing products at prices so low that as many people will be able to afford it. So IKEA core value, and they do an analysis here, so it's even better. And so they have 8 core values, and but it's not in the same order in their website, but then it's not exactly the same naming, but nevertheless, humbleness and willpower. IKEA has the reputation of being an humble brand with respect to its business operation. This is true. And their willpower can be reflected in their desire to serve, innovate, and get things done. Oh, isn't it like Scrum? Get things done, innovate, serve. Interesting. And I'm telling you, you feel it. Lead by example, or leadership by example. The leaders and manager at IKEA, whatever the level you are in, believe in the core idea of leading by example by setting standards for their employees as they have for themselves. IKEA also leads other companies by example in the fight against environmental degradation, pollution. For example, the Inga Group, who own the brand of IKEA, pledge an investment of $700 million in sustainable practice to meet IKEA grades, goals, and everything, and which is true. And they will respect my high school devices of, in French, ensemble différent, together and different, by daring to be different. They let all of their employees to be different. And we are just talking about the IE here. We talked about what I called out the other day. And they do it, and they truly do it, so they will embrace, and the leader, by example, will also include this. They will let you dare to make a difference. They will let you dare to uncover a new way, to propose things, to mention something, and they will go into those kind, they call it huddles here in Canada, where they're actually bring conversation like in a mini open space anytime something arises. And so this is a key aspect of the IKEA business is based upon is the idea of the differentiation is consider something of increasing value, okay, for the entirely of your team and then your department and everything. So all solutions are always under checked, always under check. They always improve and adapt. They inspect. So just by this value, daring to be different. So they welcome you, they empower you, they invite you to there because that's what they want. They want continuous innovation. They want continuous process improvement or change. Okay. So it's like having a Kaizen event every fucking minute at IKEA. And I dare you, it is like this. Okay. Then to the next values of IKEA. It's togetherness and enthusiasm. That's true. You feel the collaboration. You feel the acceptance. Even if people disagree with the daring to the difference, they will work together once everybody else agree that let's try it. Okay. So my best Scrum thing over the last 20 years were actually applying this togetherness and enthusiasm with daring to be different and accepting the ideas of others. So that's the way you innovate, guys. So that's why I'm saying like those with their own core value way before the Agile Manifesto, way before the Scrum Guide, way before any bullshit that us, the consultant and those RIM, we do. They build their company upon these core value who are naturally what now some of us call Scrum, Enterprise Scrum, blah, blah, blah. Okay. And the togetherness, it's really, really, it's a circular type of based on the Ellen MacArthur Foundation for the effort of a circular business model, and the circular economy can help because they want to the right to repair. They are for it. Their warranty is very good. Their replacement is very good. So it's really based on let's together make something happen, like for real. Then constant desire of renewal, yes, or and. So this is the way this website describes it, but the value, I think, over at IKEA, let me go see it right now on the back list. So this is renew and improve, yes, because IKEA want constantly looking for new and better ways forward, you see? Like it's like the opening of the Agile Manifesto, but they made it before. Whatever we are doing today, we can do better tomorrow. This is their motto, okay? Finding solution to almost impossible challenges is part of our success and a source of inspiration. So you see, I mean, so all of the people who try to define what is Agile, you have it alive now in practice in the real world, okay? And the cost consciousness, this is the lean part, cost consciousness in relation to the implementation of a daily core value of IKEA, the cost consciousness is indeed a central value and a significant component of the IKEA business strategy and tactical application. Thus, to pass the benefits to the customer and maintain low costs, IKEA is known to make efficient use of its resources and manage costs effectively. Yes and no, this, of course, depending on your economical viewpoint or your business, your earn value point of view, you will say like, yeah, maybe sometimes they're too cheap or this and that, they cut them. Yes and no, they have different kind of layer of this. But what I'm saying here is that value, it's becoming a pattern of helping decision making in term of they have the goal to respect their mission statement and vision. And they want to make sure that the quality will follow as well. So, but sometimes it's really a lean thinking and the approach that they will do this, but they do it without having any lean university or Kanban university come and bulldoze them with that, because that value tell the leaders and their teams do it and think of it cost effectively, because your margin, you have to do it within those realm of cost consciousness. That's it. It's the outcome that counts. How much is going to cost our customer? So they retrofit it to the way that they will finance the development or the design of a product and everything, including in the website and everything. Okay, so that's the way it is. And finally, they have accept and delegate responsibility. So this part is probably close to, it's the give and take responsibility, they call it, at IKEA on website. So they believe they're empowering people. It's mean this, you give them responsibility, but you give and take as a leader. And that goes intrinsically with the lead by example. So giving and taking responsibility are ways to grow and develop as individual, trusting each other through your action. The tree is a fruit. Show me the fruits of the tree. Being positive and forward looking, inspire everyone to contribute to their own development and the development of the entire company. And, so maybe there we could explore with the Open Leadership Network how they do or they do not, or at some point they do a kind of an invitation base, resourceful. But with just the huddle, I talked to you that I experienced myself as a consultant working with them and now also as a more like team member. So if you have something that you see, you observe, you talk to it with your leader and with your coworker, and then you praise it, and then you bring it transparently to everyone in the team. And then if it need be, they will escalate it positively, I mean, to another layer to make the decision based on that proposed value or that proposed change, whether it's a process, it's a design, it's a way of doing thing. And I'm seeing it like often. So that's so much that what you guys could call a dictatorial or a library of stuff or documentation, it's always alive there. And they praise be with this kind of cloud or whatever thing. So this is amazing. I think that's a very, very IKEA. It's one of the example, especially a retail. They don't care about IT. They don't outsource that too much, but They do have it right without naming it. This is what I'm saying. And the beauty of it too is there's also pros and cons. These are not perfect because you have like different people there. But so far, if I give a score of happiness, even me as a stakeholder, I will give 91% that I'm happy to work within this kind of value system that helped me make decision or suggest the leaders to make decision or whatever. So I kind of liked it. But of course, I see things and meet things that do they impose their value? No. Do they invite that have to be seen? But for sure, you feel more accountable as any type of stakeholder, whether you're a permanent employee or you're on contract or whatever. But sometimes I discover, though, they are present in, I think, 85 countries, and if it's not more, 200,000 employees. There's a kind of a one-size-fits-all because the brand is very important. And I realize also in my more like CRM kind of department that if the only one contact center in Canada want to do something, want to have his own tools, well, sorry, fellow, there's no subvention here. It's all from Sweden or Netherlands or Switzerland. So they test everything in Europe and then push it into North America and South America, because I think there's three contact centers in the United States, one here, and here you have it. So if you have the brand XIVZ as a software, you're going to have it everywhere. So on that aspect, they might deserve a little bit more open business agility and a more decentralized way of doing things, because maybe, especially if you look at the workforce of an intraday, for instance, people have maybe more experience with X brand of software because of our North American context versus the European who choose other software and so on. So that could be something to think. And if a lot of stakeholders in the managerial team are happy with the actual tooling and process that they have and what they could do with their contact center, and then you just want to say, like, no, all the call center, all the contact center of Akiator at all have to do it that way. So that's a kind of unfortunate, like I have to call it as it is. It's a kind of an imposition based on the centralization, because it's always like this. Imposition exists easier in a centralized mode of deployment of operation and stuff like this. So that's maybe that little thing. So that might exist also for the branding name, the marketing and everything. I don't know. But it seems to be, as a private company, yes, they are really open. Yes, they will welcome anyone, any stakeholders to bring ideas and make something happen. And I saw things that happen. But on the core stuff, such as software, tool, some kind of ID, it seems that everything is from Switzerland, Netherlands, and Sweden. It will be rarely from another country, whatever. So if they choose to buy it for one contact center in Almut, it's going to be everywhere in Europe. And when it's done in Europe, they will impose it here in Canada, United States, and Mexico. You see what I mean? So that's the part of it. That's the part of it. And now we have time to a little bit of Apple. What do you say? Yeah, okay, let's do it a little bit. Just to compare another kind of value-based organization that do it better, and they do it better without a PMO and without an agile transformation office, especially without a transformation office. So let's go to Apple mission statement here. Do you see it? Yes, you do. Okay, so Apple, you all know that the actual CEO, it's Tim Cook, was founded in 1976, nearly 50 years now. 164,000 employees as of 2022. It's a public on stock market with the ticker symbol of AAPL. The market capitalization as of March 2023, it's $2.29 trillion. The annual revenue for the full year's end of 2022 was $394.32 billion. And the net profit is almost $100 billion. So that's kind of crazy. Ronald Wayne, one of the earliest, sold his share to Jobs and Wozniak. Yeah, by the way, they don't talk about, but of course, everybody knows that Steve Wozniak and Steve Jobs were the founder. And Ronald Wayne sold within 12 days, after founding Apple. I'm sure he still regret it today, and his legacy, of course. So we won't go over the overview of Apple. I'm sure all my listeners know about them. But how many of you really know the mission statement? And you see, in their case, they don't have a vision statement. The why is incremental, and the how Even though Simon Sinek used Apple as the example of, they are the one who created the golden circle. If you don't know your why, you suck. But you see, they prove him wrong because they start with a mission statement of Apple is to bringing the best user experience to customer through innovative hardware, software, and services. Okay? And by the way, I will do it right now because I really want to finish in 10 minutes. What is the common thing in all the company that I name? Of course, I don't have time to go one by one unless you ask me to do a part two of the show. But what do they have in common that makes it real agile, real business agility, according to the proposed definition of business agility of Steve Denning and Mike Beadle? Huh? So at IKEA, it's to make a better an everyday life for the most of people. So it's customer experience. Here, it's to bring the best user experience to customer through innovative hardware, software, and services. So it's all about the people. It's all about the people first before any other process. You see, mission statement, value, the experience of the customer. So I'm telling you guys, if you work as a Scrum Master, as an Agile coach, even as an OCM, whatever, in an organization that brag to be Agile, that brag to be Lean, that brag to do Scrum, they don't if they don't have any type of vision or mission statement that talk about the customer experience. But be careful here. In the case of IKEA and Apple, I've seen it apply every fracking minute in everything they do, everything they design, everything they think, everything they wish, everything. Okay? There's a lot of banks or company out there, especially in Quebec, that have experience or customer and employee, but it's all lip services because you don't see it apply every day, or you're kind of surprised in a board meeting or any meeting that you have been pushed back to do something that will go in line of this, bring the best user experience to customer through innovative hardware. So let's say you have a company XYZ here in the Cité du Multimédia in Montreal. They will have that. To bring the best user experience to customer through innovative hardware, software, and services. And now you are the Scrum Master working with a product owner on a very specific software. And when you, when developers start asking, could we see, the customer feedback on that? So for us, we'll be able to help you refine the user story by what they have to say. And then the product owner will goes on to say, oh, I'm sorry, I don't have access to that file because we don't have that file. We don't survey our customer. We don't do this. So how do you have this mission statement to bring the best user experience to the customer if you don't have customer and user feedback to help the developer tweaking it, changing it, and adapting it? So that's why I'm saying a lot of fakeness, a lot of fake agile happen, and it's coached by 90% of fake agile coach, and it's supported by a firm that just want to do money with a kind of benching of these ideas, and you have pushback within these meetings with things, so they don't apply it. But I swear at Apple, they do apply it. They do survey the customer. They do take time. They do use it. And sometimes you see it on a large scales when they remove things and everything. But the right to repair movement, it's another story. I know. And I know Apple as is devils. But basically, if I talk about the Apple statement, they are very close to their customer and user. And they make accordingly to this, okay? And they sell to a specific audience because they create the customer as well. So, best user experience, we cannot deny it. A lot of people who, in the last 20 years, who switch from a PC to a Mac, they say it. It's so much easier. I waste so less time now. It's more functional, everything. So, there you have it. And now they have the vision statement. You see, after, to make the best product on earth and to leave the world better than we found it. So this came later. The first thing was Steve Jobs. This one came later, probably with Tim Cook. But nevertheless, they have it now. But it's always been a mission-based kind of statement. And in terms of value for Apple, they just don't have it because they only have a system, that system, that they put in place. So if you look at here, the core value of Apple is accessibility. Steve Jobs was a sucker for it. Everything the developer at Apple, they rely on the App Store ecosystem, so it's accessibility. You see it everywhere. The store commission, it's all the way up to 15 to 20% on the program to reduce it and everything. So they, their second core value is support education, because they believe that technology should be at the service of education, not the other way around, with the Connect Ed that they created back in the day. And even since 2014, they have more. They give to every student a Mac and iPad. They donate it for every classroom. So you see, so the support education, that's true. That was the only probably software company or even hardware company to provide classes or public school with equipment for off the price, anything. We're all in. It's something that in the wall of Apple you hear often. We're all in, not necessarily together, but it's the kind of like IKEA, the togetherness kind of value. Here it is. So, you know, to give an example, when Apple fired Antonio Garcia Martinez in 2021, one of its ad manager for promoting sexist and racist view in 2016, book Chaos Monkey. So, yeah, so... Of course, a lot of people will say like Apple is becoming weak, but for weak and woke, yes and no. But the thing is, it's their values and they apply it the way they want. So they don't hide it. They are not lip servicing it and they make it alive. And the supplier responsibilities, it's always also important. 50 in the service supply chain, they do evaluation, they do get their feedback and everything. So here you go. But this is in Apple, it's more like a systems over goals and objective, and the core value are base. And unfortunately, now the actual CEO. So, of course, you have it maybe less powerful than you could have it with IKEA or Spotify, for instance. But I decided to choose Apple also because Apple. Since its beginning, whatever now it's more woke-nized, could I say it like this? Woke-nized, it's still a strong value-based company on its mission, and they do develop it better. But if I scale, as I said, I scale 91% happiness factor walking and seeing that the walk the talk from those core value at IKEA, for Apple, it's about 82%. Because they lack in some domain, but they are more decentralized in a way in terms of the operation and tactic than they are. And yes, the sun is playing with me. My windows is on the southwest, so it is it. The sun will go up in the summer. I won't have this two-faced joker, but it is what it is. And even with the light, there's nothing to do right now at 12 noon here. Where my studio office is. So I hope you liked it. I hope you like you learned something and you're going to teach me something in the comment below or on your beautiful message for the audio podcaster of the Dare Real Agile podcast. So so that was me, Alexandre Frédéric Joly, today talking about this. Sorry if I disappoint people about the Black Swan or Agile Civil Wars. If you'd like Coach AF back, maybe next week, is it next week or whatever, to be the more like the Alex Jones of business agility and ranting about something. But to tell you the truth, I'm going to also transition to help my friends over at Open Leadership Network to create a very meaningful podcast to advance those novelty idea of making that world a better place that we founder, whatever. And so once again, I know a lot of you are listening to this more than all of the program and you're not subscribed. So subscribe, hit the bell on YouTube, hit the glove on Rumble. And on that, once again, remember who you really are. Or before that, I just give you those big two examples, but there's so much to say about Spotify model based on... core value based on the Scrum flat manage, decentralized. But the IKEA value drive everything they do, that's for sure. It's the real agile because, again, those companies, they don't use Tesla, the same thing. It's not true that the Joe whatever his name is, the Constituente, whatever, he never been an agile coach there. He might help on some process, but that's, you know, guys, stop the shit. The real story is Yves Rocher created Yves Rocher Cosmetic and Friends the same way, with innovative thing, new ways. People have never seen a catalog order for a lipstick, for instance, and this and that. So the la vente par correspondance en français. So these are all examples that just at the core of the way they do business, just at the core of the product they propose, it's already an innovation. So move forward today, beside Yves Rocher and IKEA, you had the Apple. Dell computer at some point was also pretty much innovative. And Tangerine in terms of free banking. Lucasfilm, as I said, just the way they transform, they literally, that was a black swan. So the black swan was that, okay? The black swans, for me, it's positive. It's something that it's so new, it's so rare that it make it happen. A lot of people will copy these model. And like when you have the Spotify model that is not a Spotify model, the Scrum, it's literally Scrum. So do you have an Apple model? No, nobody has done it. Do you have an IKEA model? No. But, and directly, substantively, they are part of something natural, and agile as an adjective is something natural. If you'd like to be the best company in the world, I guess you have to apply this adjective of agile and also lean in terms of your cost and product effectiveness. So that's why I'm saying, like, a very strong core value-based corporation, not only they will deliver better product, better services, better experience, better attrition, they will also won't be in need of a PMO. Actually, at IKEA, they don't even have a PMO. Specifically not an agile, whatever you want to call it, transformation or scaling. Because what they do scale is their best practice across whatever it needed on the same type of thing, because there's no one size fit all. And so they don't even need organization change management, because they already apply the change continuously. And it's all in-house type of open space, open pattern, agreed upon base value, continuous improvement. So maybe that's the future. Let them be. Let them do. And those who don't understand those natural intrinsic principle, if you want to do business without principle or mission or vision statement, well, you won't last long. And to rephrase Steve Denning article in April of 2020, when he says only the agile people will thrive, he was not talking about you, stupid agile coach or scrum master. He was talking about those entrepreneurs, those businesswomen and men who will have those type of core base value and able to create a beautiful, positive black swan of something that will disrupt the market. This is what it means, agile as an adjective, not as a fracking whatever you want to name it is, because agile is only one thing. It's an adjective that make you shine and move your light up and higher. So on that, remember who you truly are. You are wonderful. You are powerful. And you are free to be whoever you want it to be and to do whatever you want it to do and respect of one another. Cheers, happy weekend, and see you next Friday for a surprising, maybe Coach AF podcast.